You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people can keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there making sure the people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure the people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night funeral home workers out there as well, all my front and rear loan truck drivers. And, of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Woo! There is a lot to talk about this morning as a lot went down in the world of sports yesterday. The first thing we have to touch on, believe me, we will get to the Atlanta Hawks game winner. But the first thing I think we got to touch on, Myles Garrett. He has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. He said it in a statement yesterday, put out a statement requesting a trade so everybody could know he meant business, so everybody could know there's no speculation, no nothing, and it's just that he wants a trade and he's ready to get out. The statement, I'll read it to you real quick, and then we'll talk about how this could affect the Falcons and obviously all the other teams out there in the NFL. He said this, quote, "As a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, and that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and the incredible fan base of the Cleveland Browns has made this one of the toughest decisions of my life. These past 8 years have shaped me into the man I am today. While I have loved calling this city my home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It's always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns." Myles Garrett, end quote. That is the headline of the day. Now, I will tell you that the Cleveland Browns stance, more specifically, Browns general manager Andrew Berry, has not changed as far as trading Myles Garrett. It seems like the Browns, obviously still right now, are 10 toes down and have drawn their line in the sand where they are not willing to trade Myles Garrett. But I'll say this before we get into the thick of it. That never really works out. It really doesn't. Like, GMs and owners can say, okay, he requested a trade. We don't have to trade him, and we're not going to trade him. Okay. We'll see how that works out for you. Guess what? Jimmy Butler's doing the same thing in Miami, and he's going to be traded. Myles Garrett is going to be traded. You aren't going to just straight up keep a guy and allow him not to play, especially a guy like Myles Garrett, because he's valuable. You can get a lot back for him. And if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm resetting this whole thing. The Deshaun Watson situation and the Deshaun Watson experiment, whatever you want to call it, hasn't worked out. And look, maybe you hold on to Deshaun Watson maybe for another season, but if I'm the Browns, I get what I can from Myles Garrett, which is, what, probably 2 first-round picks? I trade Myles Garrett, get my draft capital, get ready to draft another quarterback, and I'm ready to hit the reset button if I'm the Cleveland Browns. Because this whole situation and this whole Deshaun Watson era has stunk, and it stunk bad. And if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm not only ready to spray Febreze all over it, I'm ready to just clean it all up, wipe the slate clean, and just get a completely new bathroom. You know what I'm saying? I'm just ready to get rid of it all. Wipe the whole thing down. Start fresh. Start new. So, I'm not sure if that's the route they go. I think they probably, if I had to guess, will try maybe one more year with Deshaun Watson when he's able to get healthy. But at this point, I don't know, because, again, he seemed like he re-tore his Achilles, and now it's going to be even longer until he's able to come back. So, there's no telling what the Cleveland Browns are going to do. That's another organization that you definitely can say is not the best run or poorly run. So we'll find out what they do, but you can say you're not trading Myles Garrett. They're going to trade Myles Garrett. You're just not going to let him sit while you get nothing in return. That's just not going to happen. It's just not smart. It's not good business. Okay, yes, he wants to be traded, but guess what? A lot of teams are going to want to trade for him. So you're not messing up your leverage. Like, coming out and saying we're not trading him, it's not doing you any good. I would understand if coming out and saying, oh, no, we're not going to trade him, because that upped your leverage and made you feel like teams are going to be like, oh, okay, they're saying they're not trading him. Watch this. We're going to offer them 3 first-round picks instead of 2. No, I don't think that's going to be the case here. You're going to trade him. All you have to do now is step into it and say, okay, he wants to be traded. Phone lines are open. Guess what? Call me up. Highest bidder gets him. That's how you get even more for Myles Garrett. Not saying, nah, we're not going to trade him. Because, again, everybody knows you're going to trade him. It's just a matter of what you're going to get back for him and when you're going to trade him. So, again, Andrew Berry, the Browns GM, can say he's not going to trade him. And I know he told reporters at the Senior Bowl last week that he would not trade Garrett even for a hypothetical offer of 2 first-round picks. Okay. All right. Wait until them 2 first-round picks are being offered, and then wait until somebody else calls you up and offers 3. I guarantee you Myles Garrett is going to be in a different uniform next season. So, we'll see what ends up happening. But I ultimately think he's going to get traded. I don't think you just – because if I'm Myles Garrett and I've requested a trade, you know where I'm at now. You know where I stand. You know how I'm coming. So if you don't trade me, guess what? I ain't playing. Because I'm not risking my opportunity to, one, try and go get a Super Bowl and play for a Super Bowl. And I know if I'm Myles Garrett and I go out there and I get hurt, then I'm definitely not getting traded for. So I'm not playing. And eventually, you're going to trade me, because you're not just going to let me sit and do nothing and not contribute to your team while you don't get anything in return. That's just not good business. And I don't think that's the way the Cleveland Browns would end up doing it. Now, I do need to look at Myles Garrett's contract, because I do forget where he sits as far as his contract goes. He did sign a big deal not too long ago, but I'm pretty sure he still has years left on his deal. So yeah, Myles Garrett just signed a contract. Oh well, he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2027. So he's got this year, next year, and then at the end of the 2027 season, I believe he's an unrestricted free agent. So whoever trades for him, they'll have him for a couple of years. Then you can move forward like that. So I think Myles Garrett ended up being traded. Now, can the Falcons? That's the next question. And the question we're all wondering here in the ATL today. Can the Falcons be one of those teams that can be a serious competitor, a serious contender in the Myles Garrett sweepstakes? I believe so. I think they could be. Now, again, it depends on who else is in the sweepstakes and what they have to offer, obviously. So it's going to take some first-round picks, for sure, probably multiple. And the Falcons, while they don't have a lot of picks this season, they still got first-round picks for the future. And if I'm the Falcons and you have the opportunity to go get Myles Garrett and it's going to cost you two first-round picks, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. We know what the Falcons have been missing for so long. Now, I understand Myles Garrett has been injured. I understand Myles Garrett has had a hilly, sketchy, not very good health, clean bill of health over what these past couple of years. But when he's on the field, he is one of the best, if not the best, defensive player. And sometimes he's the best player out there, period, on both sides of the ball. I mean, he is the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. Dude is a dog. He's a baller on all accords. So if I am the Falcons and it takes two first-round picks to go get Myles Garrett, I'm doing it. Take him. Take him. Please take him. You add Myles Garrett to this defensive line, it automatically becomes 50 times better. Myles Garrett with Arnold Ebiketie, you got Grady Jarrett in the middle. You got Braylon Trice, who you can swap in there. If you bring back guys like maybe Eddie Goldman, or you maybe draft a guy instead of maybe drafting the edge because you go get Myles Garrett, maybe you draft a guy in the second round. Well, I don't know if you give up this for this year's first round pick. Maybe you do, but if they do it this offseason, you probably would give up this year's first round pick. So say you don't have your first round pick anymore, but you go in the second round, you go get a guy who can stuff up the middle. Maybe you try to make a move because you have 46. Maybe you try to trade up in the first round and get a guy like Kenneth Grant at the end of the first round. Who knows? You figure it out. But that's the point. You give Cleveland their two first-round picks or whatever it's going to cost, and then you figure it out from there, period. Because you got your quarterback. Your offense is pretty much set. Bijan, Tyler Algier, Drake London, Darnell Mooney. I don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Pitts. The reports aren't there. He could be traded, but either way it goes, you'll be fine. Your offense is good. Your offense is pretty much set. And if you can bring in a Myles Garrett on defense, you feel real, real good about what you can do defensively now. With Arnold Ebiketie coming on towards the end of last year, that whole defensive line coming on towards the end of last year, and now you got a real guy you got to worry about in Myles Garrett, who's going to get his own sacks. He's going to open things up for Arnold Ebiketie. He's going to open things up for that whole entire defensive line. And we know a QB's best friend is a elite running back, which we have in Bijan Robinson, the Falcons have in Bijan Robinson, and a very good defense, which your defense would turn from, it's okay, it can get the job done, to, yeah, this defense is really good with Myles Garrett. That's the difference. That's how much just Myles Garrett alone changes the Falcons' defense. You go from, it's okay, it gets the job done, too. That's a very good unit now with A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, Myles Garrett and company. So, again, if I'm the Falcons, do what you got to do. Terry, call up Andrew Berry right now and say, what you want, man? What's it going to take? I'm willing to play ball. You know you're going to have to trade him eventually. Just go ahead, come up off him, man. I'll come up off of some picks if you come up off of Myles Garrett for me, brother. So just let me know. So if I'm the Falcons, yes, I am definitely trading for Myles Garrett. Will it happen? I don't know. We'll see. But this, I will say this before we go to break real quick. This team made win now moves back in, what, 2023 and last year when they went and got Jesse Bates and they went and got David Onyemata and they made some heavy win now moves last year when they traded for Matthew Judon and traded for or signed Justin Simmons. Terry, I know the Matthew Judon thing didn't work out. Justin Simmons was a little bit underwhelming. Besides Michael Penix, some of the other draft picks weren't that great. Terry Fontenot, if you go trade for Myles Garrett, you will be a hero in Atlanta. You will go from, I don't know how I feel about Terry. And so I'll be honest, some people want Terry Fontenot gone. You go from some people wanting you gone and some people being indifferent about you to you being a hero in Atlanta if you go get Myles Garrett, point blank, period. So we'll see. All right, when we come back here on Hometown Take, the streak is over. We'll talk about it next here on Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Trey dribbling with 10 seconds left in the game. Now Trey Young, 4 seconds on the 24. Trey dances, Trey spins, Trey turns. He fires a floater. It's good!
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. That was the sound of Steve Holman letting you know Trey Young, Ice Trey the Gang, hit the game winner over Malik Beasley. Hey, I stepped over that man as he hit the game winner over him to snap the Hawks' 8-game losing streak as the Hawks get the 132-130 win over the Detroit Pistons. And finally, y'all, finally, Hawks fans, the streak is over. Thank goodness the streak is over. Whew, that felt good, man. That was a good way to get a big win last night. And, man, how about snapping your 8-game losing streak with a Trae Young game winner. Couldn't think of any other better way to do it, to be honest. So, man, obviously that is what the Hawks needed, just what the doctor ordered. And Trae Young comes up clutch for his team yet again. Trae Young had a big night, and he came into the night too questionable with Achilles tendonitis, but that Achilles didn't seem to be bothering him too much last night. 34 points for Ice Trae the Gang, 9 assists. 4 of 8 from three, had a very efficient night as well. 4 of 8 from three, 9 of 16 from the field. So a great night from Trae Young last night. Zachary Sachet had a solid night as well. This for a second game in a row, I believe, all the starters for the Hawks got into double figures. Reece Sachet had 17. He had a couple of threes. Onyeka Kongwu, 12 points, 8 rebounds. I told you Trae Young had 34. DeAndre Hunter, who got the start, he ended up getting 20. So good to see him get into a starting role and still have that same type of production. 20 points for DeAndre, 7 of 14 from the field. He was 4 of 8 from 3 as well. So Trae and DeAndre both feeling it from downtown. Dyson Daniels hit a 3 as well, his lone 3 that he attempted. 19 points for him, 6 rebounds, 7 assists for Dyson Daniels. So really good night for Dyson last night. He had 4 steals as well. 6 of 10 from the field, and then you also had a couple of guys give you some good minutes off the bench. Larry Nance Jr., 12 points in 20 minutes. He had a double-double Larry Nance Jr. did last night. So, look, that's a guy he's going to have to step up because he's going to be a guy you rely on, too, moving forward. So, 12 and 10 for Larry Nance Jr. last night. He hit two threes as well. And then Vic Krejci, 13 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. So, you had a lot of guys shooting well from 3 last night. Trey shot 50%. DeAndre shot 50%. Larry Nance shot 50%. And Vic Krejci shot 50%. So overall, you shot 43.2% from three-point land, 51.9% from the field, and that is just what the Hawks needed, too. So just absolutely great night for the Hawks last night, and they were able to get the job done. So, look, it was you needed that win against Detroit, too. Detroit was one of those teams, is one of those teams still that you're looking up at in the standings. Detroit now is 25-25 in seventh place, and now you're within two games of Detroit, so that's good. You're 2.5 games behind Miami for sixth place still. So, look, all hope is not lost for the Hawks. Obviously, they can't afford any more injuries for real, but they can still try to do something here if they choose. And to me, that is still the biggest question. And that's for the Hawks the rest of the season. I am going to be intrigued. I feel like we're going to know how the rest of the season is going to go for the Hawks, kind of depending on what they decide to do at the trade deadline. If they decide to maybe ship Clint and ship Bogey for draft picks, then I'll understand, okay. And by the way, Bogey and Clint last night both not even on the list of guys who are available. So if that tells you anything, those two guys probably not going to be here if I had to guess. So we'll see what happens there. But even with trading Clinton, trading Bogey, the question really is, are you trading them for future draft capital or are you trading them for guys that can or a guy that can help you right now? That's my biggest question. Because you're trading them for future draft picks, okay, you can still obviously win games with the guys you got now. They proved that last night. They beat a solid Detroit team. But they don't get anybody to try and maybe make up something of what you lost from Jalen Johnson. Then that tells me we're headed to probably another play-in round. You know, maybe we get above the play-in line, but we're either, you know, we're either play into first round or first round exit at best, most likely. That's just probably what it is. So I'm going to be very interested to see what they do with the trade deadline, and I think it'll tell me everything I need to know about how the rest of the season is going to go. So trade deadline is Thursday, by the way. I think the time is like 4 p.m. or something like that. I'll double-check that time for you and let you know as well. But it is Thursday, so coming up here in a couple of days. I think I'll have a pretty good idea, and we'll all have a pretty good idea of what the Hawks view this season to be and whether or not they're looking towards the future or trying to still salvage this season right now to maybe make a late playoff push. So that is what we'll find out about. But again, really good last night for the Hawks. Really good win last night. A win that you desperately, desperately needed to get off the schneid because it's not getting any easier for the Hawks in the month of February. We talked about it. You got the Spurs tomorrow. That game's on ESPN, by the way. Trey versus Wemby. That'll be a fun game to watch. I'll definitely be tuned in and tapped into that one. And then you got the Bucks on Friday. I'm actually going to that game on Friday, so I'll get a couple of nights of Hawks basketball I'll get to take in these next two games that they play. But, again, not getting any easier. The Spurs haven't been playing great as of late, but they just got De'Aaron Fox, so that's going to be a boost for them. I'm not sure if De'Aaron Fox is going to be playing on Wednesday, so we'll see. Then they got the Bucks. Obviously, that's going to be a tough game. Wizards, you should win that game. Magic haven't been playing great as of late either. Paolo Banchero has been kind of slumping a little bit, and they've dealt with some injuries themselves too, but still, Magic will be a tough team. You got them next Monday and then next Thursday. Sandwiched in between that, you take on the Knicks, and then you have the Pistons again, the Heat twice in a back-to-back, and the Thunder. So You're playing all fairly, besides the Wizards, you're playing all quality teams that have either beaten you or we know are good teams. So it's not, again, it's not getting any easier for the Hawks this month. So you got to find a way to get some wins. Like these games against the Magic, these games against the Heat, that this next game against the Pistons coming up towards the end of the month, you got to find a way to win these games. Like the Spurs, Wednesday, you got to find a way to beat the Spurs. I get it. It'll be tough, especially if they end up getting De'Aaron Fox and he ends up being available. But you got to find a way to beat some of these lesser teams or these teams that are right at the same level as you. You got to find a way to win those basketball games if you want to try and salvage this season at all. So we'll see what ends up happening with them. But it's a tough month of February for the Hawks. No real breaks again, besides the Washington Wizards, who are 8-41, and you really should beat them. But yeah, I think they've lost to the Wizards already this season too. So anything obviously can happen. But as far as the Hawks go, again, 132-130 win over the Detroit Pistons last night, and they snapped their 8-game winning streak, and hopefully, again, they can keep the winning streak going and start a winning streak instead of getting back right on the L side of the column. Hopefully they can stay on the W side of the column tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs. Pre-game starting at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks. Tip-off at 7 with Steve Holman. I do want to get into something else real quick while we have a few minutes here. How about Cooper Kupp? Cooper Kupp saying that the Rams basically told him, hey, we're trying to trade you this offseason, but just want to give you a heads up. And he put out his own statement on social media as well, and just want to talk about that. Now, obviously, unlike Myles Garrett, this is not a guy who the Falcons are going to be in line to try to go get. At least I don't think so. I'd be very surprised, because obviously they're going to want some draft capital backing you. You don't have any need at wide receiver, obviously. But they, again, Cooper Kupp being told by the Rams that they're going to be seeking a trade for him immediately. So that's what he announced on Monday. He said, quote, I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in L.A. That's what he posted on social media. But he said, quote, the team will be seeking a trade immediately. And that's what the Rams told him. So I'm kind of a little bit shocked at this news. I know you've been using, obviously, Puka Nacua more, but you think while the Rams still have this slight window with Matthew Stafford at the helm before he decides to retire and call it quits, and while he's still playing at a fairly high level, you would think they would keep both if they could. I know there's salary cap implications, and as a matter of fact, the Rams can save, what, $15 million? Yeah, the Rams cut Kupp this season. They will save $15 million in cash and $7.2 million against the salary cap if they release him without a post-June 1 designation. And so they will end up absorbing $22.2 million in dead money due to the remaining prorated portions of his signing bonus and the $5 million of his roster bonus. But still, you'd think you would just try to keep that core nucleus of that offense together of Matthew Stafford, now Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, while, again, you still have this slight window of maybe trying to make a run at it again. But they like Puka. I know they like DeMarcus Robinson as well. So I guess they're just at a point where they're ready to move on. Maybe they feel like they can go get themselves maybe another wide receiver in the draft that can help. And they just feel like they need to reallocate that money and reallocate those sources in other places. So is what it is there. But Puka Nacua, they're keeping him. Cooper Kupp, the guy that is going to be on the move for the Los Angeles Rams. So we'll see where he ends up landing. I know a few teams that could use his services. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they need another wide receiver desperately. They got to figure out quarterback first and foremost, though. It's going to be Russell Wilson, going to be Justin Fields. But I know a few teams that'll more than likely be interested in the old Cooper Kupp sweepstakes and trying to get their teams to up. Josh Allen, I mean, you think about the Buffalo Bills, if they go out and get Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper wasn't great for you, but you add Cooper Kupp to that mix, who knows what the type of damage Josh Allen and Cooper Kupp could do. So we'll see. But I thought that was very interesting. That one kind of came out of nowhere. Myles Garrett didn't surprise me too much because there have been rumblings of that. But the Cooper Kupp one kind of surprised me a little bit, honestly. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, there is a new two-round mock draft from Matt Miller. Who does he have the Falcons drafting with their first two picks? We'll react to it, and I'll give you my thoughts next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you to everybody that is tuned in, tapped in right now. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are already at work or on their way to work that are tapped in and listening in. Thank you. Shout out to all my people that are already at the gym or on their way tuned in or on their way to the gym that are tapped in and tuned in. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to this show at home, on the go, anywhere that you might be. And you can listen at any time too. Guess what? It don't have to be just at 5 a.m. if you're not usually an early riser. Guess what? I got good news for you. You can listen to my show at 5 p.m. You can listen to it at 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m., whenever you're getting ready for work. Or you can listen at 10 a.m. whenever you get to work and get settled in. Or maybe like 5:30 p.m., 6 p.m., however long it takes you to get home. Or on your way home, you can listen. When you get home, you can listen. You can listen whenever. Before you go to bed, you can listen to my show or any of the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game whenever you like with the free Odyssey app. So here's what you do. You download the Odyssey app. You search 92.9 The Game. You find my show, The Hometown Take. And then that's it. You can go back, listen to all of my segments, my show in its full entirety. You can do that with all the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can go back and listen to their full shows. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments. You can go back and listen to interviews, all that. You can do all that and more on the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and smart devices today. Let's get back into the Atlanta Falcons and start talking about the NFL draft a little bit. Matt Miller from ESPN came out with a two-round mock draft, and he has a couple of names on here that I like as far as who he thinks the Falcons could end up drafting with the 15th and 46th overall pick. Let's start with, obviously, number 15. Think we all know this name, and I think we would be all very excited if the Falcons can get this guy. A Georgia Bulldog. That's right. He's talking about not Jalen Walker, but Mykel Williams, the edge rusher out of Georgia. He says this: the Falcons had only 31 sacks in 2024. Ugh. Second fewest in the NFL. Yeah, thanks, Matt. That has to change in Raheem Morris' second season as the head coach. Yeah, it does. Williams is right in the team's backyard at Georgia and flashes the power, speed, and production that generally excites front offices. He also says Georgia's two games against Texas this past season showcased Williams at his best as he registered four combined sacks in those matchups, but he only had one sack in the remaining nine games he played in. Williams is an upside player who could be a double-digit sack getter with some development. Now, I will say this about Mykel Williams and him not having the crazy amount of production. Georgia is one of those teams where it's not just like everybody trying to go get the quarterback. And I'm not saying all teams are, that's how some other teams are. I mean, I really don't know. But I know Georgia specifically, you have assignments, and sometimes your assignment as the edge isn't always to go get the quarterback. Sometimes it's to keep the edge, keep the rush lanes, keep gap integrity. Make sure you, again, have the edge set. So Mykael Williams was good, very good at, to me, doing what Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs asked him to do. Now, like Matt said in that excerpt I read to you, when he needs to go get the quarterback, he's shown he can. He's got the power, he's got the speed, and he's done it against the big competition, some of the best of the best. He did it against Texas, and he played Texas well in both of those games. When they really needed that defense to step up, he stepped up. So I would be all for a Mykael Williams. I am definitely here for it, and I think that would be a very good fit on the Falcons' defensive line. So I'm all for bringing in a Georgia boy. I'll be all for Jalen Walker. I'll be all for Mykael Williams. We'll see if either one of those guys is there. Obviously, Matt Miller believes he's going to be there. So we'll see if it ends up coming to fruition. But now, look, Matt's making – he will make a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans happy if we go get somebody from Georgia, and more specifically a pass rusher from Georgia with the 15th overall pick. That would make a lot of Falcons fans very happy and put a lot of smiles on the faces of Falcons fans if that ended up coming to fruition. Now, and again, if Jalen Walker is there, I'm running, sprinting to the podium to get Jalen Walker. And same with Mykael Williams as well, too. Both are very good players. Both have shown that I think that they can be very productive NFL players. So I would most definitely be here for it if that ends up, if Mykael Williams is there and the Falcons end up drafting him. So no quorums with that at all. So that's who he has at 15. At 46, and I'll go back and give you, I'll retract and give you what who he had as the top 10 just for kicks and giggles in a few minutes if we have time. But at 46, he's got Benjamin Morrison, the corner out of Notre Dame. And I like this as well, too, because the Falcons' second biggest need, in my opinion, is corner. Again, I like Mike Hughes, and I think Mike Hughes is good, and I think he could continue to play the outside. But I think this Falcons defense could be that much better if you go get another corner, draft another corner, and you allow that dude to play on the outside with, again, you have Jesse Bates behind him. So you're going to have some experience behind him. It's not like, you know, he's not going to have any help whatsoever. He's going to have help in the backfield with, again, A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates. He's going to have experience back there. So if you do end up drafting a young fella, either I wouldn't even mind if the Falcons, if it's right and depending on how the draft falls, I wouldn't even mind if the Falcons draft a corner at 15, depending on how the draft falls. And, you know, there's an edge rush, the edge rush is there. Maybe you can wait on, or who knows what, or you trade back and get a corner. Whatever the case may be. But if you get an edge rusher at 15 and then you use 46 to get a corner, I'll be elated at that as well. And Benjamin Morrison, again, very good player. And this is what Matt Miller had to say about that this pick for a potential pick for the Falcons. Quote, A.J. Terrell has been great for the Falcons, but teams can avoid him if there is not a reliable corner on the other side. Morrison had first-round grades before he suffered a hip injury in October and had 9 interceptions combined in 2022 and 2023. So the takeaways are there. Ball skills are there for me as well. I would not be mad at this pick either, because, like I said, if you can say the Falcons draft Benjamin Morrison with the 46th overall pick, you let him be on the outside, you move Mike Hughes to inside and let him be that nickel guy or slot guy or whatever, and then D'Alford can also be maybe another nickel or slot guy if you need him. That just gives you that much more depth at that corner position. And if you ever needed to move Mike Hughes to the outside, you can do that, and you can then move D'Alford to the slot. I mean, it would add a lot. Just making that one move feels like it adds so much more depth to the Falcons' secondary. So I would be, again, I would not mind at all if the Falcons get edge rusher, pass rusher, whatever you want to call it at 15, and then a corner at 46. I think that would be two very good moves for the Falcons. So I'm here for it, but I would also be here for if the Falcons go get Myles Garrett as well. Then, you know, then you really can obviously focus corner on whatever draft pick you have, because, you know, if you go get Myles Garrett, you might not have this year's first-round pick or next year's first-round pick, depending on, you know, what first-round picks you give up. But we'll see. But as far as this first-round mock goes, Mykel Williams, Benjamin Morrison as your first two picks, hard to argue with that, if you ask me. Very, very hard to argue with that if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. So I am all the way here for that, and we'll see what ends up happening there. But you have to me, you got to focus mainly on defense. I wouldn't be mad if this entire draft was pretty much defense. Now, depending on what happens with Drew Dolman, and if you end up needing a center, and then, you know, maybe you end up drafting a center at some point this draft. But if you re-sign Drew Dolman and you're letting him be the center, at least for the next few years moving forward, this draft, to me, can be all defense for the Falcons. You can go edge at 15, corner at 46, and, you know, just maybe a safety at the next pick, depending on how you feel about, you know, Richie, what you decide to do with Richie Grant. I know you got DeMarco Hellum still, but probably still want to draft another safety. So I think there is an easy scenario where this is a all-defensive draft for the Atlanta Falcons, because you have a lot of holes on defense. You need a D tackle as well, especially depending on, you know, if you bring, you know, Eddie Goldman back. Taquan Graham's also a free agent. I mean, you got so many defensive free agents. And look, the reality of the situation is that you're not going to bring all of those defensive free agents you have on your roster right now. They're not all coming back. Hopefully you can bring the most important ones back and the most valuable ones back, but you're not bringing every single one back. That's just what it is. So you're going to have to use a lot of these picks. And the other part of that, too, is you don't have that many picks. So the picks you do have, you got to add to this defense, and you got to hit on these defensive players, too, because you're going to need these guys to step up and fill a lot of holes in this defense. And that's going to be important for this past year's class, too, when you talk about Ruka Rororo and Brandon Dorlus. These guys are going to have huge, huge roles next season, because you're not going to have all the money that you had this past offseason. And, I mean, you used it on Kirk Cousins anyway, but you're not going to have all the money that you had this past offseason to go and get guys. You're going to need the guys that you drafted and the guys you draft this draft to be impact players and play roles. And I'm not worried about that. That doesn't worry me too much. But as far as when you talk about Rook and Brandon Dorlus, I think those guys can play. Rook was solid when he was in there. He just didn't get a whole lot of playing time. Brandon Dorlus, I really don't know about, because he just did not get a whole lot of playing time. Braylon Trice, we'll find out about him. Obviously, he unfortunately got injured in the preseason, so we never really got to see Brandon Dorlus. We never got to see Brandon Dorlus. Not Brandon Dorlus. Braylon Trice, excuse me. In the regular season. So, you got to hope these guys are ready to step up and take on a big role, because they're going to have to do that this offseason, this upcoming season. Because, again, you know, hopefully you can bring maybe Eddie Goldman back. Hopefully you bring it to Taquan Graham back. And hopefully you bring, again, some other pieces back on that defensive front, but or that defensive side of the ball. But you're not going to be able to bring back everybody. So, you got to hope that the Ruka Rororos and Brandon Dorluses of the world step up this upcoming season. And then you got to hope that the draft picks you make this season are hits as well, because they're going to have to play and have contributions to this team as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But there you have it. I do want to bring up something non-sports related here while we have a couple of minutes. His time is over. His shine is almost done. His 15 minutes of fame. I'm being dramatic now. But his 15 minutes of fame, they're about to be over. You want to know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Kendrick Lamar. It's about to be over with for him, Day-Day. You know why? He's gonna have his little Super Bowl halftime show this weekend. He's going to be able to play his Not Like Us record. He's got his Grammys. He got all that. But guess what? The big dog coming back to eat. The big dog coming back to eat just a week after Day-Day. That boy, Drizzy Drake, he done announced him and Party Next Door's album dropping on Valentine's Day. Some sexy songs for you. That's what it's called. Him and Party Next Door, we knew it was coming. It's been long awaited. So guess what? Kendrick, congrats on your 5 Grammys. Even though you had to bring up Drake to get your 5 Grammys, even though you had to say Drake's name and diss him to get your 5 Grammys, congratulations. Even though you had to bring up Drake and diss Drake to get a Super Bowl halftime show, you got it. Congratulations. Drake gave you your extra 15 minutes of fame. Drake put you back on the map after you fell off a little bit and went dormant. He helped you line your pockets. He helped you get some money. He helped you get some Grammys. Now your time's up because the big dog coming back to eat February 14th. That's right. That's right. His time is up. He's about to go back into dormancy, so y'all better enjoy GNX and turn this TV off. Turn this TV off and not like us all you can. Because we about to be listening to some sexy songs for you February 14th, okay? All right. Ooh, that felt good. All right. That is going to be my time. Appreciate y'all tuning in. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday starting at 5 a.m. sharp. Until then, The Morning Shift with Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan coming up next. Till I talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.